You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Palumbis! Me angry!
Take that, Parallax.
I work out all the time now. You guys want tips? Follow me.
I don't know. What kind of impression do you do if a guy just doesn't show up for work? Low blow.
It's all good. It was funny.
Mike wasn't funny, but DeHuff was funny.
How many days would you miss if you had glue gun finger burns?
Probably like a 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We don't have to make fun of DeHuff because they make fun of him already.
Right. Yeah. So it's okay for us to do it because they do it.
Let me get to Mount Palumbis speak here. And so Juwan James. Gosh, should I not assume everybody knows the Juwan James? I'll recap. Juwan James was acquired as a free agent by the Broncos. In fact, he was actually looked into a year before they acquired him. They really liked Juwan James. But when you asked around about Juwan James, he definitely had a bit of a reputation. And so it wasn't like some sort of clear-cut thing. And if you look at his career, he had a good year, a down year. A good year, a down year. It was this up-and-down thing, and his work ethic was questioned. However, his talent was such that, you know what, too? Let me ask you this, Tyler, if you know it. I know he went to Tennessee. Did he start off in Alabama and have some sort of bad experience there?
I have no idea.
Well, hey, Kevin, do a little research on that real quick, because I saw a tweet of his earlier that made it sound like he had some sort of bad experience with Alabama. He definitely went to Tennessee, and he's proud to be a volunteer. That's there's no doubt about it. I guess what my point is, there seems to be an up-and-down nature with Juwan James.
Yeah.
The Broncos acquired him and made him the highest right tackle in the NFL. Big expectations for Juwan James. And in his first season with the Broncos, he played like 60 snaps. He played the entire first half of the Houston game where Drew Lock came in, and the Broncos, I mean, were unbelievable. They destroyed the Texans. The Texans had just come off a huge win against the Patriots. This is in Houston. It looked like an unwinnable game, and the Broncos dominated.
Yeah, in 2 years, he has played the equivalent of about one football game.
He played the entire first half and then just seemed to just tap out of playing the second half.
Right, and there was a lot of question about whether that was a planned move from the coaching staff or not, trying to keep him healthy. We found out after the fact that he pulled himself. It was not the team.
Last year, for COVID reasons, he opted out and did not play for the Broncos. Now, we're definitely more accepting of those type of things. You're well within your rights. Not even all that critical of that. But we have played audio over the past few months, Tyler, of teammates and coaches saying some kind of cryptic things, sort of. How would you summarize what his teammates and coaches have said about him?
Yeah, his teammates are disappointed in him. Garrett Bowles has said that he's going to have to earn the trust back of the offensive line, which is an incredibly powerful thing to say about a peer that is in your own group, that is in your own offensive meetings. I mean, that's a huge statement. We've heard Vic Fangio challenge him on multiple occasions. You know, I hear what you say about opting out with COVID, and I agree with you. But when there's a guy that there's question about whether you love the game or not, and when there's been previous question about your motivation, your work ethic, and when you opt out without a really understandable medical reason to opt out, yeah, the teammates, I'm just telling you how it is inside a locker room, your teammates will be disappointed. Okay. So that's just reality.
Richie, you got something you want to throw in real quick? What do you got about Juwan James?
Well, you asked us to look into it, and in fact, Juwan James originally did commit to Alabama, and after he decommitted, he spoke to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about his decision, saying it had to do with the textbook scandal at Alabama. He says, quote, back when I committed and the Alabama probation stuff came out, I expressed my concerns to them about it. I've talked to them since, and they've been helping me through and trying to make me feel more comfortable, but I never felt that comfortability that I felt back when I first committed. They were ultimately put on a 3-year probation because of the scandal involving improper distribution of textbooks.
All right. So you can see, I think he's a thoughtful guy. I think he's an intelligent guy. I think he's had just kind of this crazy roller coaster up and down career where he's with one place, goes someplace else. It's kind of inconsistent. Anyway, today he put out a tweet that said it was meant to happen. And later on, he put out a tweet said it was a Drake line, relax, LOL. What's meant to be in life is meant to be. On the text line, John in Littleton simply says, Mount Palumbus, what the hell was Juwan James talking about?
Mount Palumbus, speak!
Yeah, Lord knows. I mean, what's meant to be? Are you meant to retire? Are you meant to give back the contract? Are you feeling regrets for taking the money and not participating with your teammates? What's meant to be? I don't know. When you put out a cryptic tweet like that, what I do know is that you leave it up to us to analyze it and come up to some sort of reasonable conclusion of what we think it could be. You know, when Jerry Jeudy put out cryptic tweets about being out there for at least he got his conditioning in, well, guess what? We read between the lines. He wasn't happy with this quarterback. He wasn't happy that he didn't get any balls thrown his way. If you put out a cryptic tweet, we're going to try to figure out what it means. So it's not on us for trying to figure out what it means. You put the cryptic tweet out there for a reason, probably because you wanted a little bit of attention, if I'm being honest. And I don't know what the origin of it was. I certainly don't know what he intended with the message. But to me, it felt like a guy that was looking for a little bit of attention.
Why would he be looking for a little bit of attention?
Well, I don't know that, D-Mac. I mean, I'm not him. I don't know what's going on in his world. I don't know what he's doing or why he put a tweet out there, and nor am I really judging him for putting out a cryptic tweet. I just know that when you do that, don't be surprised when people try to figure out what the meaning of it is.
We have said for a long time, because of the financial situation, we expect him to actually be back on the team.
Right.
Let me give you some of the finances. If the Broncos cut Juwan James before June 1st, he carries $19 million in dead money. That is a lot. That's a lot of money. But it gives you $6 million in cap savings. So it is $6 million bucks you can use right then on there on a player or a collection of players. However, the $19 million in dead money is just, you know, that's just wearing a hole in your pocket. You just, you know, whatever. So you're going to have like one or two guys that would equate the $6 million. It certainly wouldn't be worth the $19 million in dead cap money that you'd have to suffer through. If they designate James as a post-June 1st cut, the dead cap money goes down to $13 million, but you don't get that $6 million.
Okay.
So you're out $13 million and you don't have the cash.
Okay.
So you're really not going to be signing anybody. So those are kind of the deadlines. Both of those figures would lead me to believe he's back on the team. That's why we thought he was going to be back on the team for this year.
I think so. I mean, that's just a stupid amount of dead money. But if you've made your decision that you want to move on from him, well, in my mind, it makes more sense to release him pre-June 1st because, okay, yeah, you got to carry the $19 million in dead money, and that's a ridiculous amount, but you're going to gain $6 million in actual cash back that you can utilize. In the NFL, it's not about the dead money. It's not about the salary cap. You know, there's a lot of ways to manipulate that. You can front people money. You figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. The salary cap is really not the poison that everybody thinks that it is.
Mm-hmm.
No, what is the real difficulty in the NFL, just like any business in America, is cash flow. How much money do I have? What's my bank account look like? And do I have the ability to, like literally, do I have the finances to go out and give $6 million to another free agent? So if you're going to move on from them, In my mind, take advantage of the cash, because what's the difference between $19 million and dead money and $13 million?
And plus, you could use some of that cash if you were going after Deshaun Watson.
You could.
You could.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
Friday evening, mama doesn't know she's leaving. Did she hear the screamer slamming, rubber squealing, gears are jamming? Local country station just a blaring on the radio. Pick him up at 7 and they're heading to the rodeo. Mama's on the front porch screaming out her warning. Girl, you better get your red head back in bed before the mom.
Help, love it. Be mad.
9 o'clock, the show is in, but the fun is just
beginning. I don't know, who is
she? Some disappointing, but she's gonna keep it waiting.
Scarf?
Grab about to eat, and they're heading to the honky tonk.
That is old school, Garth, though. Really
that's almost all Garth is old school.
I tell you what.
Yeah, that's good. Scarf's
nothing bad to say about Garth Brooks. I love him. Dude's ridiculous. Melvin Gordon's court date has been pushed back. What is going on here? The Denver District Court has agreed to continue a hearing regarding the DUI and speeding charges against Melvin Gordon. He will have a disposition hearing on his DUI charge on March 10th. Wow, like when was this supposed to first go down, Tyler? What are we talking? We're talking...
Well, it was right at the end of the season.
That's right.
It was
that's right
before like the last game of the year, I think.
Last three games of the year. Correct. Because that's what we thought was going to happen.
So that's what happened with Kareem Jackson.
Because that's what happened with Kareem Jackson. However, Kareem was represented by Harvey Steinberg, and Melvin is not. So we just were like, oh, well, it's a DUI. They'll just settle it. He will get suspended. And don't forget, in the new CBA, it's 3 games. They're more lenient on marijuana stuff. They're harsher on DUI. That's what was agreed to.
Right, right.
So, I got pushed back, which, you know, surprised us a little bit. And, you know, because we're like, wow, you'd rather get suspended in a season that, you know, in the beginning of next year, like competitive-wise, you know, these are 3 games that mean virtually nothing here.
Yeah, I don't think that's what's going on. I mean, Kareem Jackson, he accepted the suspension because he knew that he was going to plea out and it was going to be all over. No matter what, he was going to plead guilty. And, you know, you could serve the suspension in the at the tail end of a lost season, or you could serve it at the beginning of a brand new fresh season. Melvin Gordon, what's becoming very, very obvious to me, it's not about the fact that he wants to serve it next year, although he does have financial motivation to serve it next year. It's significantly lower amount of money that he would lose based off of his salary. To me, this just feels very obvious that they feel like they've got a way out. I think Melvin Gordon 100% thinks that he's got a way to fight this thing.
So a pretrial hearing is set for April 2nd, jury trial scheduled for April 8th. So that doesn't change, but this particular hearing has been pushed back to March 10th for whatever reason. I think this is going to court. I think this is going to go to a jury trial.
That's what it feels like. I mean, I don't know why you keep pushing it off, unless you have the intention of fighting it, right? I mean, if you wanted to plea out and just figure out whatever it is that your suspension is going to be, certainly he could have done that by now. He definitely has intentions of fighting this thing. You know, I don't know what his case is. It seemed like a pretty cut and dry case. He was going way too fast. He was way too drunk. And, you know, I'm not quite sure what the technicality is, but obviously they feel like the officer didn't follow some letter of the law.
Well, I am sure if he's convicted by the jury, it's going to be a way harsher punishment than if he were just to plea out. No doubt about that.
Not from the NFL, but on a personal level,
that's
yes.
That's right. The NFL punishment will likely be it will be the exact same as if he pleaded out.
Yeah.
The personal stuff will be harsher. If you're found guilty by a jury, it's definitely going to be harsher. What's remarkable, I guess, at this point, Tyler, is what is that consequence compared to the amount of money he would lose out if he was suspended three games? And I do wonder, you're innocent until proven guilty, so if you're going to push it this far and you haven't been suspended by the NFL yet, obviously the NFL is waiting to see how this verdict actually goes before instituting some sort of consequence. There are millions of dollars on the line here,
right?
Because the Broncos, don't forget, the Broncos can cut him and save themselves literally millions of dollars for conduct detrimental. There is a little, you know, loophole where they don't have to pay him guaranteed money. And I guess if you're found not guilty, then that goes away too. You wouldn't have a choice.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen though, because if anything, I think that this whole situation makes Melvin Gordon more affordable for the Broncos, because they've got, what was he owed? A little over $7 million next year, something like that.
Yeah.
He's going to miss three games. Okay, that's probably going to be $1.5 million, maybe more than that, that he's going to lose out on, that the Broncos do not have to pay to him. So the Broncos are actually going to get him cheaper than they would have previously. I think if anything, this actually helps his case of staying on this team.
Well, I'll be shocked at this point with all this stuff going on if this doesn't actually go to a jury trial for a DUI.
Yeah.
And they must think they've got something. They must think there's something that happened that will get a jury to say not guilty. It's really fascinating, you know, that you...
Well, you don't see this happen very often.
No,
I mean, most of the time when guys get themselves in legal trouble, they try to get it over as quickly as they possibly can, because it provides resolution for whatever their future is with their football team.
It's unique. Absolutely unique. So that's the latest drama with Melvin Gordon. And that's another decision. That's a really tough one, because, I mean, you do owe him in guaranteed money. It's like $7 million or whatever, unless there's a way to get out of that. And I don't know how you feel about the situation between Gordon and Philip Lindsay, and who George Payton is going to be more committed to. What do you think Philip Lindsay is going through looking at all this sort of stuff? And what do you think? Philip Lindsay just wants to get out of here, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I would. If I was Philip, I'd want to get the heck out of here. I'd want to go to a place where I had an opportunity. You know, what would I do personally? I would cut Melvin Gordon, and I would draft a running back probably in the late second, early third round.
I love that move.
That's what I would do.
I absolutely love that move. You can find so many good running backs there, very cheap. You're saving yourself tons of money. It's another, like, you know, roll your eyes moment in free agency getting Melvin Gordon, just period. And to find out.
I told you so.
Oh, yeah, that's a big I told you so. You're right. And to find out he really was running out of bounds so he would have the chance to get 1,000 yards. It's just wow. Dude.
It was obvious to me at the time.
You were right. Top six is next.